Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
LaFondra looking to get close side of Font. LaFondra away from David. 3-1 running. 3 points ready.
Hello, welcome to a very special midweek edition of the Empire Rules podcast, supported by Blue Collar Street Food. We are here midweek in the middle of the afternoon because Reading FC have brought us big news, Paul, that they have now confirmed they are in exclusive negotiations with an unnamed party.
I want you to start that siren, Alex, because it's happened. Come on, fire up. We finally have exclusivity in the house, in the Reading FC house. It is here. We have waited what it feels like a millennium. It feels like longer than that since the beginning of stars and sky and fire and wind. But we are here. Mr. Dyes, they call him. We have alternate names for him, but we won't go into that now. Has agreed exclusivity with a deal that will seems really quite good on the kind of what we hear, but we don't know any details yet on actually who it is.
Yeah, it's exciting times. Alex, do you want to read the statement so that the listeners can hear exactly what is included and why Paul just, I think, alluded to and why we're a little bit excited?
The club can confirm Mr. Dyer is committed to a letter of intent of a potential purchase of Reading Football Club. The parties will now enter a period of exclusive negotiation to agree the final terms. The completion is expected to take up to 2 months, at which time the purchaser will be announced. The important bit here. The transaction would include the transfer of Mr. Dyer's shareholding in the Reading Football Club Limited, as well as the Select Car Leasing Stadium and Bearwood Park Training Ground. The club will communicate with further updates when appropriate. So the big news there, Eric, outside of obviously the fact that we're in exclusive negotiations, is the fact that it seems to be that it's going to be for everything.
Yeah. Interesting wording, though, there. Mr. Dyce share in the SCL stadium and the training ground. So do we know, does he own those outright? It's in a separate company, isn't it?
I think that this is in reference to the fact that the club does not own the entirety of the car park, for example.
Yeah.
That would maybe be my only, like...
What we're saying is, we think Mr. Dye owns the lot, whether it's directly through the club or through another sort of shell company or whatever it might be. So what we're hoping here is that all the assets, including the stadium and including the training ground, which has become a bit of a crown in the jewel, is going to be as part of this sale to the prospective new owners. Is that right? Am I understanding that right?
I think so. I mean, it's obviously nothing, we can't confirm anything right here, but it seems that way, right? It seems that all three of the main, well, two of the main assets and the club itself are going to be sold as one package, Paul, which, you know, I think 2 weeks ago, if you'd asked somebody this after the news that Bearwood for sale and Wickham were going to purchase it and, you know, take on the training ground, I don't think less than 2 weeks later anybody would have expected us to be in full, you know, full exclusivity for the entire package of the club.
No, I don't think anyone would have believed that, which is also
also just thinking about that makes me slightly scared about what's coming, because obviously exclusivity is great and it is a significant step forward. It's not deal done. And it's not like Dave mentioned in the previous podcast, and we all know this, until it's changed on Company House, that he doesn't actually own Reading FC. We haven't actually moved on. You know, obviously an official statement from Reading FC will kind of be enough, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, we've got to taper expectations, I think, here a little bit. We have been close to exclusivity and deals rumoured to be close in the past, haven't we? Sort of last November. But what I would say is, as far as we can tell, there's been some sort of agreement. Has there been an agreement signed, or what do we think that is there? What is the process? Do we know?
Yeah, I think an agreement has been signed. I think that's
I think given the line about entering a period of exclusive negotiations, I think there must have been something signed at this point.
There was wording like a letter of intent, wasn't there? There was has confirmed or committed to a letter of intent, which suggests that paperwork has been signed. So hopefully, again, we've got to taper expectations a little bit, but it's hard not to get excited after what's been some really glum months at Reading FC off the pitch. So
adding an important detail is also that the tax was reportedly being paid as well. Okay. And hopefully this group, I'm not going to say, 100%, because I don't know, can't predict the future at Reading FC. By the time we finish this podcast, who knows what will have happened. But they will cover the wages for this month, which would mean that we wouldn't see a points deduction, which would be absolutely huge, Alex, wouldn't it, if that was the case?
Yeah, I mean, no points deduction leaves us with enough points at the minute, I think, to basically suggest that we're going to stay up with another 4 or 5 points, because we're on 42 at the minute. And no points deduction means that we probably don't need more than 4 or 5 points, I would have think, to stay up at this point. So it makes those, makes this week coming really big. The game against Northampton on Friday, it just looks, ginormous in terms of the fact that if you can put 3 points on the board there, you're at 45 points, and it looks like there is not going to be a points deduction this season. Fingers crossed, touch wood, whatever else, go to the end of the rainbow sort of thing. Yeah. If there's not going to be a points deduction, I feel like that's going to be enough points to keep us in the league with maybe one win and a draw at this point from the last 7 games, which the team is more than capable of getting.
It's such a stark contrast, Alex. It's such a stark contrast from thinking that there was £1 million shortfall, thinking that the training ground was going to be sold to Wigan Wanderers. And what are we, a week and a half later? And now it's looking like we might actually get a complete, all the assets sold off, all the bills paid, and staying up. I mean, it's some change, isn't it? And some turnaround.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you when you compare the feeling of 2 weeks ago to today, it's night and day, isn't it? And I think it's obviously important, Paul, to kind of lots of people have replied to us and said it's, you've got to be cautiously optimistic right here. It's a step and it's not the end of it. It's not the end, but it's kind of like this is the beginning of the end, hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much it, isn't it? There's a few people who have sent us some their thoughts on it. Brian Davis here, cautious, optimistic, untrusting of Di and pissy, pissy, pang, pang. Just get it done. Hopefully new owners have our best interests at heart and will steer us back towards the championship for starters. Baby steps. And one here from Caroline Parker, absolute media mogul that she is. Caroline Parker saying, just sign the thing. I mean, I'm really disappointed you haven't put dutting. I'm absolutely gutted with that for you, Caroline. You've let yourself down. You've let your family down.
One thing we haven't mentioned yet, Paul. Before we go on to other people, I know we're like 8 minutes into this podcast. We haven't actually said a name of who it might be.
No, I was going to come on to that because, obviously, we're obviously sat here saying, it's great news and all that. But I think the threshold is so low with Di Young, even if it's a 3 out of 4 out of 10 new owner, it's a vast improvement. I don't think that's an understatement, is it, really, from someone who's so bad as Di Young? Obviously, we'd love to have a 10, but I just can't see that at all. It's just not going to happen.
I think for me, the thing is, even if you get a 3 or 4 owner out of 10, you don't know it's a 3 or 4 out of 10 until until they want to sell, until they want to move on, right? Until things are already going wrong, Eric. You can't, none of us know ultimately what these owners are going to be like.
No, it'll be, there's a few indications, right? Number one is what kind of level of communication do they have with the fans? What are the things that they say when they come in? How do they communicate with the fans? Dai Young has been famously absent, right? He's not communicated whatsoever. He's not been clear on the vision, not been clear on a lot of those things. The second thing is, what kind of moves are we making in the transfer market? Now, we've been under an embargo for a long time, and we might still be under an embargo for some time going forward because of past indiscretions. However, when the new owner comes in, if we can get a level of stability, once we see the kind of moves that he makes, obviously, I think I was guilty of it. I got quoted a tweet from a couple of years ago when I praised Mr. Dai for signing a bunch of players for big money. We know now that was completely reckless. So again, we've got to be a little bit careful on just judging by sort of transfer activity alone, because it just shows Mr. Dai was just spending recklessly, and he's put the future of the club at risk. Now, what I want to know is, we can't say who the consortium are because we don't know for sure, but can we say who it isn't, Alex? What have you heard in terms of rumours? Like, have we had some journalists that have said it's definitely not this consortium, or we don't think it's this consortium? Have we got any of that to hand?
I think reading social media this afternoon, Lewis Coombs has confirmed that it's not Ginevra.
Okay. Are they the people that were closed before, Alex? They were closed last November.
They were the people that we had a podcast about in November, where it was, we're this close to exclusivity, and then it kind of like, you know, looked egg on our face when it turned out that they pulled out of the deal because the conditions got changed. Yeah. But it seems like it's not going to be them currently.
Okay.
So if it's not them, Paul, the other kind of like information that we have seen come out this afternoon is from John Percy.
Yes, we have, and that's from a North American group. But yet again, we don't really have anything more than that. There's rumours circulating, but who knows? There's been people involved in chats probably for months and months, and none of us know for absolute certainty who this is. But the fact that we've actually got this signed, for me, is really significant. I realise we want to know the identity of the group. I totally get that. What fan wouldn't want to know who it is? You know, after we've been treated so badly, we want to know who that is. But I just feel like, you know, on the statement it says they're looking for closure of this deal by May. But we have seen other examples when it's actually happened a lot quicker, when they've put out that big long time frame. So it's not impossible that we could be finding out who that is before, and being what it is through the internet, sources, media, whatever you want, it will get leaked out at some point.
Yeah, I think we just got to be a bit cautious. We don't want to add fuel to the fire here, right? We want to be a little bit more restrained, more than happy to talk about this at length once we find out who the owners are, once it's confirmed and it's been announced. But until then, just got to be a little bit cautious, because we don't want to put something out there that's later found to be untrue. I think that's the risk, right?
I tell you what I'm looking forward to now is a Friday, because I do think it's going to be a busy, busy game on Friday now. Hopefully it gives people of Reading, you know, people who've disappeared and not come to games for this season, a couple of years, a reason to want to come back. So I'm very much looking forward to getting down to the SCL, firstly on Friday. And secondly, I'm really looking forward to this party when, fingers crossed, I've had so many fingers crossed, like 10 of them. Fingers crossed that this all goes through, and that the party, when Dai does actually, you know, finally sell it off and the name finally changes on the door or whatever it is on the way in, that'll be one I'm waiting for at the minute.
Yeah, well, how many times, Paul, have you said, welcome to the Elm Park Royals podcast, supported by Blue Collar Street Food? You must have those guys on speed dial, ready to organise the party, ready to get there, ready to get celebrating. What do you reckon?
Yeah, you are piling on the pressure there, aren't you, Eric? Absolutely killing me there. Yeah, I think Glenn would be absolutely bang up for that. I mean, he's already tweeted, I can't remember how many weeks ago it was now, about the 106 pints. So, I'm pretty sure something will be happening.
No, no pressure, no expectations, by the way, Glenn.
But no expectations, but you'll be let down if it doesn't. Yeah, I understand.
No, but what I would say is, if we could pick anywhere to celebrate, blue collar would be pretty high on the list, wouldn't it?
Oh, of course, I love blue collar. Advertisement is finished, but yes,
blue collar followed by purple turtle until whatever time of the morning it ends up shutting nowadays, 5 a.m. or something stupid, I'm sure.
That's the ideal evening, isn't it? So you get all your food there, blue collar, get everything there, get ridiculously cheap booze, then get kind of like probably thrown out at 1 o'clock because you're too pissed from the turtle. But, you know, you don't remember much of the evening, but you had a cracking time, you know, so that's a great thing.
I wonder if we can get Sir John Medeski along to the Purple Turtle for the celebrations. That would be the ultimate.
You never know. It's not impossible, is it? No, well, let's read out some more, obviously, before that. Like, especially get onto the speed dial for Glenn, because I can feel the pressure building massively. So here's one here from Strats. Amazing, exciting news. Destroyed by the invasive thoughts of wonder if Dai will move the goalpost. Oh, it's there, isn't it, Alex? I mean, you'd be hard not to have that in the back of your mind, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, it will be pretty awful if it turns out that it's like, you know, friend of his or a family member. Can you imagine if there's a third Dai sibling somewhere?
Let's not picture that. What I want to know, Alex, is with Ginevra last time, did we get to a stage where we actually announced exclusivity? I can't remember. No. I wasn't in the country at the time.
No, it wasn't announced. What happened was that it was thought he was signed, but Dai actually changed the terms on the exclusivity just at the last minute. So the fact that we've got past that, but since that, there's been a significant change because there's a lawyer involved, which has become that middle person. So that is the big change there, I believe. What was his name? Is it Hinchcliffe?
Yeah. And we got to be a little bit more optimistic than last time, but still not popping the champagne just yet. We're going to the shop and we're buying the champagne to get ready to put it on ice. Is that what we're saying?
Mine's in the fridge ready.
It's cool. It's chilling now.
Yeah. No. So shall I read out some more of these then? So we've had some more here. One from Alex, I mean, great news, but can't get too carried away. Let's just hope it all goes through okay and the new owners aren't the same as previous. I don't think we have anyone as bad as this one. I really hope not. So everyone here from SP37, I'm guessing, yeah. I mean, that's not your real name, is it? Assuming the sales go through and we stay up, what should be a realistic expectations for league's next season, promotion or playoffs? I mean, wow. We'd have to find out who won.
Stability. I think we just got to aim for stability. That's all we can ask for. Let's not be in a relegation battle, please. And that would be absolutely fantastic. You'd take that all day long. What was telling from your quotes there, Paul, sorry, Alex, did you want to say something?
I was going to say, I actually do. I disagree. I think next season, if we've been taken over, Sellers gets a full pre-season, I think there's no reason that we shouldn't be aiming. I'm not going to say promotion. I think that's
listeners. He really wants to.
I really want to, but I'm not going to. I think that's probably OTT. But I don't think there's a reason that we shouldn't consider ourselves to be a top 10 team in League One next year.
But you'd take stability. Yeah.
But I think next season, I think of new ownership, a full pre-season for Sellers, a settled team squad, etc. I think there's no reason we couldn't be a team which is pushing for a playoff spot. We've been seventh in form since November.
I agree. If we keep these players, we don't know what the financial situation will be with anyone who comes in.
Yes.
Are they going to, you know, keep us at the level that we're at with the players that we've got? And will those players also attract attention from championship teams and other clubs?
Yeah.
But if we were to keep most of those players, you know, inevitably, I think we'll lose one or two of the good ones, basically.
Yeah.
We could be up there, but let's wait and see. Let's wait and see.
Yeah, and I think what I was going to say from the reaction to you reading out some of the reactions is you can hear the fear in the reactions. We've been here before. We've been optimistic. We're thinking we're getting close, and we've had the rug pulled from under our feet. And you can hear that in the reactions, assuming it all goes through. Fingers crossed it's not owners the same as last time. There's a level of caution here, isn't there, which I think is sensible. Paul, what do you reckon?
Oh yeah, you'd be completely crazy to assume that Dai is going to do the right thing by us, because he hasn't done that. But as I mentioned, there's a law involved now and the situation has changed, so I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm the by distance the most upbeat I've been about this since the beginning, because now the inclusivity shows a significant step forward.
I'd agree with Paul. The fact that there's a lawyer involved, and I can't, what's his name? Daniel, is it Loitz or Lotz, or the German person who was apparently interested in purchasing the club back in January. He posted some screenshots at the end of last week about, you know, emails which went back and forth between him and the club. And the fact that Dye's lawyer, David Hinchcliffe, I think it is, the fact that he's replied to one of the emails from this German guy back in January saying that he wants to see all the detail before they go any further with, like, you know, going towards the EFL and approaching them and things like that, makes me think that this deal must be a decent way down the line already to have got to that point. They're not, you're not putting something out now where it's like maybe he's gonna, you know, pull out and change his mind at the last minute. If his lawyer's kind of involved and agreed something, and there must be a relative level of confidence, you'd hope.
Yeah, and I think if you're holding shares in a tennis ball manufacturing company, you should have sold those already, shouldn't you? Because I think the purchase of tennis balls is going to be on the come down. What do we reckon, Paul?
I really hope so. I don't want to see them back. Totally the right thing to do, but I do not want them back, because that would be a horrific sign. So I think basically we all feel the same on this podcast. I'm sure lots of people out there are feeling like you mentioned earlier, Eric. It's excited, you know. I think we should accept that we are excited about it. I don't think we should like try and suppress that, because we've waited so long for this. But also, without knowing who it is, we're not sure. But for fuck's sake, it is so low, isn't it?
We have some hope.
We're not expecting like miracles, are we?
Yeah, we have some hope, and we also think that the bills have been paid, meaning no more embargoes, meaning a realistic playing up. That's huge. So that's as much as we can be positive about it at the moment, but it's very hard to not get excited after all of these glum days, weeks, months, all the protests, all the organized action. So yeah, it's just nice to be talking about some hope for the future and actually the football club remaining, which is what we all want.
And hopefully it means after summer we'll just be talking about football on this podcast and not exclusivity or how much percentage of the training ground the club own, or a plot of land at Bearwood, or the car park, or something ridiculous like that. And we're just back to talking about, you know, how bad David Button played in goal because Matt Lansley's on the podcast or something this week.
Yeah. You know, I almost mentioned that, but I thought I'm not going to bring him up.
It was so different. We almost managed the entire podcast without mentioning how bad David Button was, but like, and I thought we would with
it was Matt Lansley.
But I still managed it.
No, it is. Like I said, we should be a little bit excited. Come on, it's football. It's an emotional thing. I don't think we should try and suppress it. It might go wrong. Yeah, it might. But yeah, it also might go very well. So let's just hope for that side.
And the final point from me, I think, before we cut off, is how much credit does Ruben Zelis deserve for taking us through this period of complete madness and instability? He's been amazing, Alex, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, there was a great article in the Times, I think, last weekend about, you know, how he's basically essentially it would be the guy's, you know, manager of the season, just based off of what the fact he's had to deal with since he's come in, because he was, you know, what promised one thing and clearly so many other different things have come out. So yeah, the huge credit has to go to him for not only, you know, the fact that we've hugely improved since November on the field, but the fact that he's managed to keep a team in the spirits that have actually resulted in us getting points on the board, which ultimately is going to be huge in terms of actually getting a sale over the line, hopefully, again.
Yeah.
Because if we were League Two, who knows what would have happened? I genuinely don't want to think about, you know, what could have happened if we'd ended up getting relegated this season. So, you know, yeah, if the sale goes through, he deserves a massive amount of credit for playing
him and all of his staff, right? Not just Ruben Zelis alone, but all of his staff. And another thing, Paul, is he's united the fans and the team, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, the fans have, I've repeatedly said this, I think I say on every podcast, the fans have been amazing. They've been through so much. I had to deal with watching their club ripped apart. We obviously had the Wickham situation. We've had Dai not deciding what to do. We've had 10 months of this and the team being really bad at the beginning of the season, basically through lots of things. I'm not going to go into all that, but the way that they are at matches now is just amazing. I don't care if there's like 5,000 there. I really don't care. If all those people there really are just want to be there 100%, you can feel that. And especially with the away games as well, the support, I mean, just ridiculous numbers that we've taken to away games, considering how bad the team have been away for the last 2 years, basically. Just full credit to them. And I just cannot wait for this to be completed and Dai Young just to be done and must record that podcast, get to Blue Collar and just drink him away. That is all I'm here for, just waiting for it.
What a plan. Superb. What do we think, Alex? You up for that?
I am, yeah, very up for that. Let's get it going. Although we've got 2 months to wait first, so let's not jump the gun just yet. But
no, and I think the final thing is can't wait for everybody to join us at the SCL on Friday, because I think we should have a bit of optimism. Hopefully, we'll have a bit of a bumper crowd and get back to the football a little bit early, because we aren't thinking about throwing tennis balls on. It's all about the football on Friday, and hopefully, we can get the 3 points.
Yep, up the fucking dink. That's what I say. So, do you want to wrap this one up then, Alex?
Yes. Yeah, I agree. Up the ding. If you have enjoyed today's podcast, I really hope you've enjoyed today's podcast, because it's so rare that we seem to bring good news on here, isn't it? Fingers crossed you've enjoyed it. If you have, drop 5 stars on Spotify, drop 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Make sure you do get down to the SCL on Friday. We'll be back on Thursday with a preview, maybe Wednesday even, depending on how diligent Paul is with speaking to James Earnshaw after his holiday. I don't know. We'll see. Wednesday or Thursday for a preview of the Northampton game on Friday. Get down to the SCL. We'll be back on Saturday, I'm going to say. Although Paul's just giving me a look of very confused look there. So maybe it won't be Saturday. I don't know.
No, it will be Saturday. Sorry, I'm just getting multiple messages on my phone. Just
we'll be back on Saturday and we're a review of the Northampton game. So yeah, catch us over the Easter weekend, because we'll be bringing all of the reaction. So yeah, until then, up the ding.
Come on, you arse.